So the big question is this: how can you, as an entrepreneur, be able to get unstuck, to be able to know what to do, how to do it, and where to start, so that you can stop experiencing a lack of wealth, health, faith, and love, to get to point B, where you're experiencing the life you were meant to live as an entrepreneur, your greatest one life, creating more income, impact, and influence? That is the big question. This podcast will give you the answer. My name is Austin Blanchfield. Welcome to the One Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what is up, my One Entrepreneur family? Austin Blanchfield here, coming at you live, and I'm super excited today, super blessed, because I have such an incredible, awesome dude on here with us. His name is Sean Malone. He is a client and sales acquisition expert, and he's ready to be able to drop some massive value with us here today. So I just want to give a huge warm welcome to Sean Malone. Thanks, brother, so much for having you on.
Dude, super pumped to be here, man. Just nothing but amazing things have come from conversations with us. So I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to shower your audience with the right stuff to get them moving in the right direction. So pleased to be here.
Heck yes. Awesome, man. I'm so excited for this. Nice. Thank you so much. Yeah. And so let's go and start. What's kind of an interesting fact, fun fact, something that most people don't know about you?
Okay. I was a professional long drive golfer. I was on tour for 5 years. I got to travel around the world with my wife to just simply hit golf balls. It was like one of the most magical things ever. Been on ESPN a couple of times. I can hit a golf ball really far, probably further than most people on the planet. So
That's great. So it's actually a part of golf where it's just literally long drives. That's it.
It's a grassroots professional sport, right? So there's guys that train just like any other professional sport. There's an audience, there's a group about 50 dudes I used to travel around with, and they're all at any one day, on PGA Tour, you can go win a golf tournament. Same thing, long drive. It's just another segment of golf, and it's just who's got the longest drive, right?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Smacking golf balls as hard and far as you can all day. Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Yeah, that's a very interesting, I would have never guessed. That's awesome. Cool, man. So let's dive into your journey. I know, really with where you're at today, I've got to understand a little bit about you and what you do and how you do it. And so, let's go ahead and give a little bit of backstory. Let's kind of start out with, this calling of yours to be able to help entrepreneurs become, great at sales, great at client acquisition. What was the calling for you? Let's kind of start at the beginning.
Yeah. So it happened about 20 years ago. It was literally probably 6 or 8 weeks after I graduated from college. So literally I came out of college and I said to myself, man, I want to make money. So that was my motivator when I started coming out of college. And I went to the person that I trusted the most, my dad. I picked him up on the phone. I'm like, hey, dad, how do I make a lot of money? That was the question that I started with. And he goes, he's such a brilliant man. I love him to death. And he's given me some of the greatest advice and some poor advice too. Don't worry. The greatest advice he gave me when I came out of college, he said, Sean, you've got three choices. I was like, yes, there's choices. What are my choices? I can't wait. I like choices. He said, the first one, he's like, are you a CEO? And I thought for a minute and I thought, no, I just didn't feel like I had the chops to be CEO yet. I'm 22. I'm just coming out of college. I was playing baseball in college. It was cool. I was hyped up with the whole athletics thing. No, dad, I'm not a CEO. Okay. Hey, what's the second choice? Well, are you an entertainer? Oh, I can't sing. I'm not the best dancer. I can't rap. I don't feel like I'm an entertainer either, dad. So what's the third choice? There's gotta be at least one that I can get into. And he said, you better learn sales. And I said, oh, okay, interesting. Right. So at that point, I was like, what do I do? So naturally, my progression was, let's go talk to a few people that have sales opportunities. I ended up landing a sales job selling commodities. So I sold things like aluminum, sheet metal, electronics, cables, all this kinds of stuff. And I sucked. I was so bad, right? Have you ever gotten into anything, Austin, and you're just terrible at it when you first start?
Oh, yes. 110%. Yes.
what's one something you started and you're just really poor at, and now you're not so poor at it anymore?
So for me, it was when I got involved in chiropractic, and it actually has to do with sales. It was presenting, cause we're a cash-based practice. And so it was presenting plans, cash-based wellness plans to members. And I remember I would just stutter and like have that shaky voice, like out of breath, just for an like probably a solid like couple weeks of presenting plans, I was just like really pushing through it.
Totally. It's like one of the guys that I've always respected, his name's Garrett White. He always talks about like whenever you start something, you suck, right? Like you're gonna suck the first time you ever do anything. And then eventually you start to suck less the more you do of it. And eventually you suck so little, you become good at it, right? Like that's progression. That's how it happens with anything and everything. So in sales, I sucked. And like growing up through my whole upbringing, I was always kind of on the upper half of most of my sports teams, sometimes a captain here or there on the baseball team, golf team, all the other stuff that I played. And I get into sales and I'm like literally below the bottom layer of the totem pole. Like I was just that bad. And I was, I mean, hungry, right? So I had ambition. I was hungry. I wasn't afraid of doing the work. And so when I got into the sales job, my boss was like, go make calls and make sales. And that's all he told me. And there was no training. There's no nothing like that. So I pick up the phone and I start banging it like hardcore, like 40 calls a day, 60 calls a day, 80 calls a day for weeks and weeks and weeks. This went on for like 4 weeks right out of college. Mm-hmm. And I literally was set no appointment, zero, after all these hundreds and hundreds of phone calls and no sales. And my boss was like, what the hell's going on? Like who? And he, of course, he'd never hired anyone out of college. So I was like a total big risk for him. And he comes to me on like a Friday and he says, Sean, with respect, I love you, but if you don't learn to sell and you don't make some sales, you're going to get fired next week. And I was like, like, what am I going to do? So I go home and I'm freaking out. And I just was so like, oh man, like it was just that irk thorn in the side. Like, how do I get better at this? So I call my dad again, back to the guy that like told me to do the sales. I'm like, dad, the sales thing, like, I hate it. Like, I'm not very good at it. Like, I just, man, like, I don't want to quit because I don't quit on anything, but this is really hard. What should I do? More profound advice. Hey, Sean, go to the library and read a book. So he told me, I was like, oh, okay. Cool. So I go to the library and I pick up Tom Hopkins' book, his very first sales book I ever called. It's called How to Master the Art of Selling. That's the book I started with. Mm-hmm. And literally I started reading it and it was profound. It was stuff that I'd never heard before. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. There is some sort of a science behind like the sales thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool. And I started to learn some stuff. And I went back the next week and I picked up the phone and my very first call, this was the moment it happened. I make the first call. And literally I used some technique out of this book that I had learned and I set an appointment with a new, good, true prospect. And I was like, woo, victory. Like I made it. Right. And so I'm at the place where I'm like, this is it. That was the moment in my life where I knew that my course of direction was I need to master this because the way I felt inside after just booking an appointment, it wasn't even a sale. It was just like that little win after all that hardship of hundreds and hundreds of calls of nothing, nothing, nothing. And it was like, boom, I made it. And I felt so good. And I remember that moment because I was like, I'm on top of cloud nine. I was like, whatever this is, it's magic. I'm going to master it. And so that kind of took me on the course of where I went. Right. Yeah. And so at that time, I really learned that one of the most important things with anything anybody ever sells or even prospects for is like, you got to have conviction about the thing you love. If you don't have conviction, you're not going to be able to sell or, you know, convince or persuade anybody to take something into their world that's going to enhance their business or life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so conviction became kind of that first. I was like, I was so hot on this trail of I need to be convicted about it. Now, if you're not convicted, because I know I run a lot, I've trained thousands of sales pros, right? Thousands of them. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I find a lot of the times is they're not convicted about the thing that they're selling or they're involved with. And so when I come across this, one of the things I share is I say, hey, listen, like, take a weekend, sit there and pull out a piece of paper and write down all the reasons why you're not convicted about what you're selling. And then seriously take a minute and analyze each and every one of those. And most of the time, what you'll come up with is one of two things. You're either going to believe that was a dumb limiting belief that you had, or you're going to figure out this is not the thing that you need to be selling. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of people that I work with, it's literally like, that's the secret. It's like, are you convicted about the thing that you're selling or are you not? Right. That's usually where you start. And so for me, it was like, I loved sales. I learned this thing about communications. And I was like, okay, so there's NLP, there's body language, there's neuroscience of sales. There's like so many different there's body language. There's all these things. And I started geeking out over and over and over. And I would buy all these courses, read all these books. I like learned what everyone else was doing because I kind of looked for patterns. And through that journey of just like, I never stopped the sales activity because that was the one thing that I could always control. And with anything, like if you're doing sales and prospecting, one of the pieces that I always found was like, there's only a few things that you can control in your sales world. One of them is your attitude, right? And the other one is going to be your activity level. Because you can't control if someone says yes or no. You can't control if someone takes an appointment with you. You can't even control whether or not someone's ready to be a buyer for your product or service. The only thing you can control is your attitude and your action. And so I thought to myself, okay, that's cool. So I learned that and I was like, that's great. Fast forward 15 years and about $500,000 worth of personal investments into this field called communication to learn this stuff. I got pretty good at it and I started making some sales. I ended up buying half of an electronics company in Las Vegas. I moved to Las Vegas and started with 7 employees and I built it up over the following like 3-4 years to 110 employees. So pretty big growth there. Revenue went from like 250K to $8.5 million a year in revenue. And this was all because I had done all this research and time and energy spent on like learning communication, learning sales and prospecting and all that stuff. And at the end of it, I had developed this humongous rep network of about 1,027 sales guys that were reporting to me on a day-to-day basis. So it was a pretty big company. I mean, it was like, it eventually hit 8 figures. But what happened was interesting because like, I thought I was on this journey and I thought that was going to be my baby. Yeah. And all of a sudden I was selling business to government. So these were big, like bigger contracts. The biggest contract I ever personally put together was a $60 million 5-year agreement. The biggest one, then that was a team sell. The biggest individual one I ever did was $1.2 million sale to one organization. So personally, that was my biggest. And through this, like I was serving government style businesses and I was away on a trip working with Raytheon in California and my business partner sold the business from behind my back in less than 2 weeks. Wow. It was the most insane, heart dropping, steal everything out from underneath you, go into a ditch and pull something over your head and just sit there because you're just like, what the F just happened to me?
Yeah.
And it sucked because I thought that was going to be my baby. Well, it put me into a really dark place. You know, you talk about these entrepreneurs going through, you said it earlier, is like cycles.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be on top of the world, making a bunch of sales. Everything's great. When it rains, it pours, right? It's good things. And on the other side of it is, most of the time, if you've been in the game of entrepreneur long enough, you've probably cycled, right? So you've probably gone down to that trough and you've been sitting there like, this was the trough for me. This was that place where I was like, ah, what am I going to do? I don't know, you know? And so I started drinking heavily. It was it's a pretty dark period of my life. Didn't know what I was going to do. I had some cash in the bank from just all the stuff that I had built. And so I didn't know what, and I kind of became lazy and just didn't do much. And it was about the time I met my wife. And luckily, she's kind of like my little angel, sits on my shoulder. She pulls me out of the bottle and she says, stop this nonsense with drinking, like do it in moderation or whatever. Go do something with your life. Okay. So I kind of dusted off my shirt and I was like, what am I good at? Like I can sell anything. And so I got on the ladders.com of all things. And I went and freaking got a job paying over 6 figures to sell roofing material for a manufacturer out of Ohio. Yeah. I took the territory of Nevada. And so instantly, what do? Like I learned all how to build these systems, the science behind it. And I kind of was getting better at the art because you never really get masterfully on the art side. It's just the science. There's always a formula. There's always a theory. There's always, and most people forget about this. Like they don't even think like when you go into a sales opportunity or you go into a prospecting place, there is a system that you should follow every time. And if you don't have one yet, consider building one, right? Like that's a very important thing to think about. And so I'm in this roofing place and I was like, okay, I just need to put a system together. I'm going to start doing this. And all of a sudden I start breaking all these sales records and I was just knocking them out of the park and everyone's like, what's happening? This new kid's like crushing deals. So what happened was the company says, we're going to send all of our new recruits to work with you for a couple of days. Nice. And so like, I ended up like, and that's really like what pushed me into, holy cow, I'm really good at training this stuff that I learned. And that was where I found kind of like the second thing of persistency, right? Persistency. So I said conviction's number one, persistency is number two, right? Probably one of the most important things in any professional sales career, anything, or even if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, whatever, if you don't have persistence, if you're not consistently taking, think about baseball for a second. I played a high level of baseball. What made me good at hitting home runs? Lots. Persistently just getting out there and swinging at it, right? And so just persistent, like never stop, never say die, even if you're bad, like just keep going. And so this is where I learned this persistency, because it was like, I was in the bottle. I got in this roofing world. I just knew that sales was the thing, right? Cause I had the conviction around it. And so yeah. I was persistently like pushing on this. Did that make sense so far? Like, just clear?
Yeah. Good? Yep. Oh, definitely. Cool. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So as I started training all these guys, they started having good results, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Right. And so what I realized after serving a lot of these business owners that had buildings that I was doing roofing work for, was that I didn't like the way the contractors were delivering the service, because they're not always the most ethical when it comes, they cut corners and they do things that are just kindergarten, and I don't want to babysit that. Right. So I was like, I'm not into that roofing thing. It's not my cup of tea. And it was a hard decision to leave, because I was doing really well. And I went on my honeymoon at that time. It's kind of like when we got married. Right. And then I left and came back from my honeymoon with fresh slate. Didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew there was going to be something around sales. My wife happens to see a Facebook ad. So this is about 5 years ago now. And it was this little 19-year-old kid, and he was walking down the beach, no shirt on. He's like, I just made all this money. And I was like, oh my God, like that's what I asked my dad when I came out of college. How do I make a lot of money? Yeah. So this little 19-year-old kid strutting the beach, talking about how he used this weird online system to generate all this cash. Of course, you've all seen those videos, right? You've seen a million of those, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah. And so we bit the hook, right? So we go into the thing and we went through, it was really cool. It was a good process. Ended up getting on the horn with our very first coach in the online space. Mm-hmm. Ended up investing over 10 grand just to kind of learn this program and go through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as we learned it, like I was really in love with the product. It was a network marketing company, right? A lot of people start their career there in sales because it's just, it puts big, like, kind of a shield on you, armor, if you call it that. And we started using the online method to generate opportunities. And this is where the consistency, again, I talked about conviction, persistency, and then now consistency became the next one. And what I learned through this whole advertising thing, because we started in cold paid ads, paid traffic to cold, or paid advertising to cold traffic. That's what this program taught us. And I found out that it is not the one hit wonder. Like most people are like, oh, if I could just make that one ad, or I could just make that one song, or I could just do that one thing, it would hit it out of the park for me. Hmm. Not the case. Consistently creating new creative was the answer for us, right? And yeah. So that was the third piece. It was like conviction, persistence, and consistence. If anyone ever asked me like, what's the thing that makes an amazing sales professional? It's those three things. And so consistently, we started building all these ads and ads and ads, and we got good at making ads. And then we were actually doing it. We put it into a cadence and we started seeing results. And because I'd had all this background previously in sales, we created like this windfall of just like massive results. We built a downline of about 2,500 people. We built a list of over 300,000 people. And about this time, it was like crazy busy. And all of our people came to us and said, yo, you guys need a software, because the software that you guys have right now is horrible. We're like, okay, we look at our software and it was horrible. It was literally duct taped together, all these like 10 different softwares to like create a result, but it was working. It was great, yeah. But there were some holes in it. So at that time we're like, okay, we need to build a software company. And we had gotten into the inner circle with Russell some time ago, and we were being coached directly by him. So marketing coach, here's another quick tip, right?
Yeah.
If you look for a coach, obviously, Austin, you're an amazing coach and you do what you do with the entrepreneurs. I love it so much, like winning entrepreneurs. And even onto your next venture, what you're doing here, it's brilliant, right? So guys, listen to Austin if that's the message, number one, right? So, but choosing a coach to fulfill a specific niche of what you're trying to learn, intent-based learning is what I call it. So when you have a problem in your business, pinpoint what the problem is, search for a couple of coaches that could possibly solve that, interview the hell out of them, and then choose the one that you believe is going to help you to solve your need. That's how we started doing coaching. So when I got into the marketing game, I was like, look, I know sales, I know prospecting, but I have no idea what marketing is all about. Yeah. Enter Russell Brunson into our world. He is the best. There's nobody better at marketing than Russell Brunson, in my opinion, on the planet. And so he became our marketing coach. And that's why we joined the Inner Circle, because he's the best. And if you can't be the best, like Busta Rhymes says, if you can't be the best, you should be part of the best. So that's why we joined the Inner Circle. And Russell says, he's like watching this journey, right? And he goes, hey, I have these other people in my Inner Circle that are like software guys. You need software, like connect it out. So we connected the dots. We ended up building a software company. That company had a $99 offer on the front end. It did $1 million in just over 10 months. And it had that $10,000 product on the back end that we were already selling. So since we built our software company, that's what we got that award from right there, was $1 million off a $99 offer. And then we sold roughly about $12 million on the back end of those systems. Only reason we don't have the X is because we couldn't process that through a click funnel. It got processed through a different service. Regardless, crushing it. And we continue going to these Inner Circle meetings, and we're learning from Russell and all these other amazing people in the room. And literally we're miserable because we're working, because we had built this big influence. So we had like pretty, we were kind of like micro influencers, I guess you'd call it. And we had the software company. So there's two beasts. Look, they're both different business models. They're both different complete entities. And it literally takes a full-time gig to run each of them. And so we were doing both. And so literally our time went like down to zero.
Yeah.
We're miserable. We were living off water, coffee, and Del Taco. Like that was our diet, right? So, I gained a bunch of weight. It was, like Burnout Alley is a whole nother. We could have an interview session on Burnout Alley, because I was there for a long time, and it's not a place I recommend anyone ever go into. There's 11 signs. Like it's a whole nother talk, but inside this marketing world, we go to Russell and we do this presentation. At the end, he says to me, he says, Sean, with due respect, you guys are like kind of level 10 thing, people doing this level 2 thing. You need to change what you're doing. So my advice to you is to kill your baby. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? He goes, no, Sean, kill your baby, like end the company. Yeah. And I was like, but wait, like it got that award and it did all this cool stuff. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Quality of life will trump money and business any day. Kill your baby, because that's what you're chasing. You're not chasing the cash. You already figured that out. I was like, oh, light bulb moment in my world, right? And so there's the epiphany, is like, oh, okay, figure out like quality of life is more important than just making dollars. But you do have to make dollars, because, you know, they say money can't buy you love, but it sure can solve a lot of problems, right? And so we're like, okay, cool. How do we kill a baby? And it took us a year. We ended up selling the company to a competitor, thankfully, right? Because we were at the point where we have a lot of users of our software that were making a lot of cash. And we couldn't just turn it off because it was unethical to do that to them. So we had to figure out like how to transition or play this or sell it or do something. And it was just a mess.
Yeah.
And we ended up selling it. So during that time, one of our other coaches who helped us with business structure, Alex Sharfin, says to me, he's like, what are you guys good at? Because we're like, Coach Sharfin, what do we do? And he goes, what are you good at? And we said, sales. And he said, okay, go talk to these online entrepreneurs, because I think they all have a sales problem. I serve a lot of the similar guys. We started talking. We talked to 50 before we did anything, right? And Austin, this is one of the reasons I respect you so much and what you're doing and your efforts and how you're just crushing it right now. Yeah. Is you did this, you're doing the same thing that we did, right? So it's like we started in sales. We knew sales. We had the background. We knew how to win in that world. And we went and started interviewing these people for free. We didn't ask for any sales. We didn't do anything of the sort. Just literally, hey, tell us, do you have a sales problem? We got deep in that conversation. We did this 50 different times. Out of 50 people, there was like 20 of them that said, hey, I want to work with you. How do I work with you? And we weren't even trying for that. It was just because we were seeing if there was a viable market that we could actually drop our skill set into, right? Yeah. And it's never, you have to generate traffic. It's just, you have to go find traffic. Like that's the other thing, a big realization for me that I found in this journey is like the traffic's there. Oh. It's just like, go find the stream where they're swimming in and then drop your hook in front of them. But that was a secret, right? So Yeah, for sure. And so we started interviewing 40, 50 of these people in the online space, selling the, you know, course creators, coaches, consultants, all these like business to business entrepreneurs that we wanted to serve. And we knew we could make a big difference in their world if they had the problem. All of them had it. We chose 5, and that started our full service agency. We're done for you. We're going to get in. We're going to help you build a sales ecosystem, meaning hire, onboard, and train sales professionals, build a sales team with you, give you the infrastructure, but more so give you the confidence to actually execute at a high level. right? Because I had built big sales teams, and our business partner, Chris Baden, who's the CEO of our organization, he's built big business as well. So we knew how to do that. So in this process, we're going down this whole path, and we realized like the journey that we were taking, it wasn't so much of the entrepreneur having a selling problem. Because usually if you got that person in front of the right opportunity, they could crush a deal, right? And so this was the part where I learned this big aha moment of most entrepreneurs are pretty okay at the sales game, having a sales conversation, but they don't understand this one of the five functions of the business. Let's go over the five functions. So you got lead gen is the first one. Lead nurture is the second one. Conversion is the third one. Delivery and fulfillment of product or service is the fourth one. And then retention and resell is the fifth one. And so most of these entrepreneurs understood lead gen. They, you know, you can go to an agency and they can get you a bunch of leads. You don't know what the quality is going to be. And then they understood conversion. If you get them in front of the right person, they can actually make the deal happen. But most entrepreneurs that I've worked with, again, in the thousands there, they don't understand or respect the nurture. They don't understand that lead nurture piece, which is in between lead gen and conversion, is lead nurture. And that comes down to prospecting. That comes down to the art and the science behind prospecting. And I recognized very quickly after serving all these guys that the most entrepreneurs had this problem of, oh, I need a prospecting system. I didn't even think you could have a prospecting system. But what was interesting is over the course of us personally building four different businesses into the eight figures, we learned is like over thousands and thousands of messaging and outreach and all this stuff. We had refined the system that was beautiful and it worked every time. Yeah. And so we put it in place with all of our high ticket entrepreneurs that we're serving. And it was at that moment that Chris and I realized we're like, holy cow, like it's a sin for us to just continue serving this many people. Because we know that we have the ability to scale this out and do it in a bigger fashion for a lot of people that might be in that place.
Yeah.
And so what we decided to do was to create a community that would just rally around the art and the science of prospecting, because nobody respects it enough. And I would say probably 90 to 93% of all entrepreneurs that I talk to, a big majority, do not have a prospecting system in place. It's not duplicatable, it's not replicatable, and it can't be passed on and on and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided at that point, like, we needed to go build this community and rally around this and solve this problem at scale for a larger audience, so that some of those audience then could move into our full service, which of course is going to be a little more expensive than kind of like the done with you model. So that's why when we figured that piece out, we're like, okay, business model time. What's the business model that we can scale? And that's where we got stuck with this whole consulting thing. So another problem we hit was just like, what's the model, right? We found that mastermind models for coaches, course creators, entrepreneurs that are trying to deliver an expert service, the mastermind model seems to fit very well for cash flow for time, right? And that was the other thing that we got to figure out is like, what's the thing that we can keep our time because quality of life, like Russell taught us, and need to continue creating income. So it was the mastermind model was it where we could sell a little bit higher price, people would get a little bit closer to us so we could actually deliver the magic, and then it could grow their business and prospecting and then actually start to create income. And then with that income, they could do a lot of different things. They could solve all the other problems in their business. They could come and work with us and build a sales team, like just a lot of stuff. And that's where we stand, right? That was where we decided to plant our flag. And we said, look, we're the prospecting guys and we're damn good at it. And there's a lot of lead gen companies that are out there that will get you leads, but they're not prospecting guys. It's just one method of developing prospects. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's huge. And as an entrepreneur myself, even too, like we always heard of, like, I always hear in the space about prospecting, but not like what you're saying, actually having like a system, a model in place to be able to nurture. And that's something that, I think it is not as emphasized or recognized as much, but yeah, like you're saying, is a huge part of the process. And it's awesome that that's what you're really focusing on with your tribe and your community of being able to really bring this home to entrepreneurs.
Yeah. 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 And like rightfully so, right? Like, because, and here's where I think the disconnect happened. was when Russell Brunson comes out and says ClickFunnels, everyone's like, what the hell's a funnel, right? Like, that's where they all started. Everyone started. I started. I didn't even know what a funnel was.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, no, no. It's a way for the individual to launch a product or service or an offer, e-com, whatever it is, online, and like literally create cash flow in a very quick way. Like, you know how quickly you can build a funnel in less than a day on ClickFunnels, and you can launch the thing and you can generate cash flow in 2 days. Doing that solved the immediate cash flow problem for at large for a lot of people, but it also took the nurture out of that equation. Right. So it's like lead gen, the funnel, like ads, right? Paid ads is one method, direct outreach, organic, tech stack, for all the different like social channels. Like, there's so many different ways to prospect.
Yeah.
And they said, no, just do paid ads into your funnel, create deal. And that brings cash flow. Well, yeah, that works if you have an irresistible offer and you have total clarity on the problem you're solving, but most people don't. And so literally it came down to, okay, hey, like lead gen's cool. Like, what is that way? But it's like, where's the nurture? Where's the prospecting part of it? How do you develop? It's like dating, right? You don't just, you've heard this analogy a million times. You don't walk into a restaurant and get married to the first chick that you find at the table because she looks good.
Yeah.
I gotta go on a few dates, right? That's prospecting. Like, dating is prospecting. It was like very, very similar, comparison there, I should say. Yeah. And so literally when Russell introduced funnel into the world, it was paid ads to deal, cash flow comes in. Now I have all this money, what do I do? And then that's where a lot of these businesses got stuck because they don't understand how to continue doing that. Because guess what? There's this thing called ad fatigue and it happens all the time. You know ad fatigue?
Yeah.
When your ad stops working, right? And then you have to go create, again, consistency and persistence, create more creative. Like, that was one of the other mentioned things I mentioned earlier. It's like that's what it comes down to. So it's like, yeah, that's where it's at. That's where our journey's at. And I just know that, like, I'm so passionate about this topic because here's what I know for sure. When you have a dedicated prospecting system that's replicatable and duplicatable, and you have a desire to serve somebody at a high level and to deliver them a product or service that can actually really change their life, so you have conviction about it and you have a way of converting them into the thing, you can build a business as big as you want because everything comes after that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. And that's in like, you're like, that's the foundation to be able to really get to the next level. And I love how, you're mentioning how this process too, as far as like just the three main points, as far as conviction, persistence, and then consistency. Like, that's so, so huge. And it shows all throughout your journey. And I like too how, just kind of reflecting back on your entire journey, if you don't mind me, like,
sure, please. Yeah.
Darren. Yeah. So, there are certain points where it's like, you have all these three points and then you hit like this, like a wall in a way. And the thing that kind of helped take you to that next level, like much more quick, I really feel like is that, like, that support. Like, the first wall was kind of really looking at coming back to your dad for that support. And then the wall, where you're in the problem of like going like the trough and having a drinking problem, and then your wife was able to pull you out, like having the support, and then a coach. And so I feel like that is also like just so key to be able to like just take you to that next level as well, right? Like having somebody in your life that can be able to help lift you up as well. So I just like I really love that, seeing those key points throughout your journey as well.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And like, as Jim Rohn, one of the best sales trainer for motivational speakers out there from the old days, says, is like, who's the five closest friends that you got?
Yeah. Right?
Like, do an inventory of the people around you.
Yeah.
Do they have the lifestyle that you want? Are they achieving the results that you want? Because if they are, you're in the right place. If they aren't, you should consider creating new friends. Don't get rid of the old ones. Just create some new ones that are going to pull you in the journey on the direction that you're trying to achieve. And then you win, right? Because then you've got double the friends and you can go hang out with these guys and it's totally cool.
Yeah.
But just when you go do that, don't talk about aspirations and dreams of business that you have with them, because you'll hit a brick wall and it sucks. With these guys, that's what you should talk about more often, right?
Nice. That's huge. Yeah. Yeah. So I love to be able to hit on the, like on the aspect too. I mean, just with prospecting in general, I love how you compared it to dating. Yeah. So like when you're in the online space, how do you take an entrepreneur through a dating cycle, like as like you're prospecting? What is kind of a little bit of your process in doing that?
Yeah. So first, again, I'm going to start with science, because I think science, like, you have a foundation and then there's an art on top of it, right? That's kind of how it works. So you need a little bit of structure, framework, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And then you trickle in your greatness of your flavor, right? So it's like a flavor of ice cream. So, yeah. So when it comes to prospecting, psychologists and experts have proven to lower the barriers of trustability and likability, right? Or I guess increase those and lower the people to have like reservation of speaking with you. So like lower the walls down, the defenses of whatever you want to call it, yeah. And increase the trustability and likability with people that you're speaking with. Experts and psychologists have proven that it takes 7 to 12 interactions. Hmm. So if we're on social media and we're trying to build a prospecting system, how do we engage in putting 7 to 12 touches in a process of dating, right? So from lead generation, let's say you do paid ads, for example, they come into a place, wherever they come into, probably your list and you're emailing them or whatever. Now they're kind of in your tribe. Like, how do you touch those people another 7 to 10 times before you speak with them, or speaking with them multiple times? And developing that likability and trustability and lowering the barriers of, you know, like the walls. And so prospecting, that's the secret, is literally don't go out and have commission breath and say, hey, I got this thing, you should buy it, because that's never going to work. We all know that. But it's rather social media should be used to be social. It's like, hey, man, I like what you're doing. Like, tell me more about why you got into it. You're just into a general conversation. That could be your first touch point.
Yeah.
Okay. Second one is like, wow, that was a great answer that you just gave me. I actually just created this really kick-ass group over here that's focused on rallying around the art and the science of prospecting. I'm curious, is that something that's interesting to you? Yes, it is. Great, third touch. Would you like to join it? Right? I haven't said anything about sales or anything yet, right? And I'm already at 3 touches. I'm doing pretty good. I just got to get to 7, right?
Yeah.
Now that the next touch is they go to my group. And then they answer some questions. That's the fourth touch. And they enter into the group, right? If they have the criteria that we put in place. Mm-hmm. And now what am I going to do? I know that they're in my group. I'm going to welcome them into my group. That's the fifth touch. And now we're giving them exposure. Okay. Now, once I've welcomed them into my group, I'm going to wait a couple of days and I'm going to send them. I'm like, hey, man, are you getting value out of this group? How else can we give you value? That's 6 touches. Then they're going to give me some answer and be like, awesome. You know what I'd really love to do, because I speak with every member in my community? I'd love to jump on a connection call just to learn more about your business and what you do. I'm an expert in the art and science of prospecting. Would love to share a couple of things that are working really well with some of our other clients. That's 8 touches before I've even gotten on the call with them.
Nice. That's huge. Wow. Yeah. That's I like how your process of doing that too, understanding from like a systems point of view, like how many touches can I be able to create, but like even before you get onto the phone with them, because to be able to have that conversation over the phone, I think is ultimately key for any high ticket, you know, to be able to offer your program or one-on-one coaching or, you know, what you are, you know, you have that conviction to be able to, you know, solve their problems. But like, I love how you have that. It's very simple. A system in place to be able to do that.
100%. The simple ones work the best, right? Look at all the one named companies that are out there that are just killing it because they're simple and you understand it, right? Like, I always call it the 8-year-old test. Mm-hmm. If you can create a concept and deliver it to an 8-year-old and he gets it within like 3 seconds of reading what it's about,
yeah,
that's probably a pretty sound opportunity.
Good. Nice. Right? Awesome. Yeah. So, I'd like to be able to, so as far as a question for you, sure. Whenever, you are getting clients to your group, what are your thoughts as far as like looking at, like an entrepreneur, whether they're just starting out or they're kind of starting to scale a little bit, like what are your thoughts as far as pros and cons versus like, you know, actually using ads or being able to specifically like, you know, like almost like what you're mentioning, there's already that audience. There's a lot of audiences out there. You just have to find and drop your hook in. Right. So like, what are your thoughts relative to that?
Yeah. So I think, and again, I just used going into a group as one example. A lot of, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs don't drive people into a group. They'll drive them onto a calendar. They'll drive them wherever they want to drive them. And so if you're just the entrepreneur that's just starting out, I think some of the things that are really, really valuable is that book, Raving Fans. If you've never read it, the gist of the book says you have to develop 1,000 true fans that truly love you and what you do. So the thought process then becomes, okay, if I know that I need to do that in order to never have to worry about income or anything like that ever again, where are the 1,000 people going to hang out? Do you have a place for them? Are they on your email list? Are they in a group? Are they, you know, in a different app somewhere? Like, where can you get your congregation to hang out? And that's the other secret. So think about that, figure out that structure, very important. And then the other structure is this. Now we start thinking about how do we find these 1,000 people? Well, friction points. Think about what's the criteria that you must have in order for people to enter into your congregation. You control the criteria. So whatever that's going to be, they got to be in business for a year, they got to sell this way, they got to be this title, whatever, right? So the criteria, set that in the front side. Wherever you're going to hang out with your congregation is where they're going to hang out. And then, so now how do we go find these people? Well, we look at there's lots of different ways to do prospecting. I always believe that when most entrepreneurs are just getting started, they're probably a little bit tight on cash flow, meaning I don't have disposable cash I can drop into ads.
Yeah.
I can't do the Dream 100 strategy and send these boxes out to these big influencers because, you know, joint ventures, right? So Russell says there's really 5 ways to make money. You've got the Dream 100, which is one of the most efficient and fastest ways to grow a business quickly. You've got joint ventures. You've got paid ads. You've got, the first one's publishing. What am I talking about? Steve Larson, thank you. You got to publish your face off, right? Why do you publish? Because you got to generate your voice. 30 or 40 times on a live camera, you'll eventually generate your voice. You'll eventually come out of this. And remember, like Garrett White says, at first you're going to suck. You're going to suck at publishing. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just be persistent. Keep doing it because eventually you'll get good. So publishing, Dream 100, JVs, organic, and then paid ads should be the very last. If you've ever read this book right here, Traffic Secrets, Russell talks about on the very last page, he says, cold or paid ads to cold traffic should be the very last thing anyone ever does. However, it's be pushed to the forefront just because of the funnel game. We talked about that, right? So if an entrepreneur is just getting started out, paid ads might be a little bit challenging, right? So then look at the other ways of how you could generate these people. Have a conversation with them. Probably the easiest way that everyone ever talks about. Create a prospecting system where you're dating them for a minute before you even say, I want you in my congregation or I don't. Right. So that's another thing. And then as you're looking through this, here's the big secret of all of this. I said, don't create traffic. No one can create traffic. Just go find it. How do we find it, Sean? Well, we look at people that are serving the same audience that we're wanting to serve in a complementary way. For example, if you're a gym coach, okay, and you want to coach people that own gyms and how to run a more efficient gym, where would that congregation hang out? There's gym equipment. Gym equipment companies probably have a big following of other gym owners that have probably bought that equipment. Now, there's no competition. There's no confliction. It's just simply a complementary audience. So now we reach out to gym equipment company and we say, hey, listen, man, I think I can dump a bunch of value into all the people that are buying your equipment, which will probably make them buy more equipment. Can I come and go do a live on your page? Very simple ask. And you can get in front of the audience that you're looking to find. Now, maybe you can have a few of those people move into your congregation and you're set. Right?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Does that answer that? That was awesome. Thank you so much for that. And that's really huge. Like just really being able to model and find that complementary audience. Like you said, there's no competition. So to be able to really find that person or find that organization, business or person or coach or whoever, like to be able to really just be in the same space and how I kind of view it as well, like you were mentioning earlier, like surrounding yourself with, you know, the five people that you want to be able to lift you up. And so like looking for more of those organizations, businesses, they can really just help accelerate you to the level that you want to be at.
Sure. Yeah. Like our business partner, Chris Baden, he always says to me, he's like, if you want to go fast, go alone. Okay. Build a funnel, paid ads, create cash flow. Mm-hmm. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, meaning you want to build legacy, you want to build wealth, you want to accumulate a business that's going to be sustainable forever, go together. So this is how you start to develop these joint venture partnerships. For example, if you're in that gym space, let's just hang there for a second, because that's where we're at. You've now built this relationship with somebody who has access. He's like the gatekeeper to your entire or congregation that you're trying to get into. And now you drop value for him. You've built trust and rapport, and you're starting to build a great relationship with him. Now you're like, hang on a second, my business is growing. What if we did some sort of a plan where we went in on something together and we both benefited it?
Nice.
Now you've literally not, you've collapsed timeframes. You've given yourself the ability to extend or expand your offering to your same audience that might not have ever known the gym equipment company. And you never have to learn the specialty of what they know.
Yeah. Wow. That's huge. Nice. Huge drop. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Really huge. Thanks, man. So I want to make sure, you know, respect time here, because I know we're coming up on the hour. But so like looking at, I love to be able to ask this question as far as like, well, actually, before I hit on this, if you don't mind, like I noticed too, within the space, like I see, you know, a lot of bots are showing up as compared to like having that personal touch. I know there's a lot of like automation that's involved. Like what are your thoughts on being able to utilize bots, you know, for, you know, reaching out to people to have those touch as compared to, you know, you personally reaching out?
It's good to a point of when it loses personal connection.
Okay.
Right. So what we believe is, we like human to human interaction, just simply because it's a human talking to a human, and logic hasn't like moved into AI yet. I'm sure at some stage in the future, there's going to be some sort of emergence of AI and logic. And when that happens, and AI can literally respond on command to like a question that's asked or something, that's going to change the game. I don't think the bots and everything has gotten there quite yet. So what we believe right now, what's working and what's worked for every single one of our clients that have actually applied it, is literally setting up a prospecting system like I talked about, and then getting it templated or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So then it becomes almost a low skill thing. And then what we can do with a low skill thing is we can hire somebody at the low skill laborer level to actually run the place. So we actually use virtual assistants from a third world country, like the Philippines or somewhere like that. And the reason we do that, A, we're creating jobs. Mm-hmm. B, we're helping them grow in a place that they want to learn and do something. C, they're helping us collapse the time frame of an entrepreneur having to do the prospecting work. And D, they're bringing the right people and putting them on our counter every single day for us. And at some point in that transition, it switches from the VA to one of us.
Yeah.
Right. The higher skill, no offense to that, but it's just the people that have learned more and had more life experience getting onto that, you know, the call or the last part of the messaging or whatever. So we believe in a hybrid model. That's what I'd say to that question.
Okay. Nice. That's great. Well, and two, and it comes down to, like you're mentioning, looking at like your quality of life too, and how you can be able to create a system so it's, you're not experiencing that burnout alley like you're talking about, you know, earlier, so that you can, you know, live the life. You can have the best of both worlds, like be able to have that best professional life and the best personal life as well. So
let's be real for a second. Prospecting is not sexy. Never has been, right? Yeah. But the secret is every business needs it. Every business that is a business has to have some sort of a prospecting methodology in it. If it doesn't, it's not going to be a business for very long.
Yeah. Huge. Right.
Nice. Yep. So what it comes down to is like build the system and then outsource the labor to run the system. That's a secret.
Nice.
Because if you can do that, now you have a way of the entrepreneur can spend more time on the core competency of what they need to be spending, whether it be delivery, whether it be like system build outs, whether it be whatever the thing is. Prospecting should always be like one of the most forefront first things that any business uses. Right. And it's like, you know, Russell always taught me, he totally transformed my whole world. One of the things he shared with me that was very powerful was, don't build the widget and then sell the widget. Have the idea for the widget, go sell the idea. And then when people say yes, because it's a good idea, now go build the widget. And that piece, like that little switch in like how it all worked for me, I was like, oh, light bulb. It's like, it's a little bit scary because you're flying from the seat of your pants after somebody says yes, and you now have a little pressure to deliver. But it's far superior in terms of generating cash flow and creating the quality of life that you might be looking for if you have that process in place.
Nice. Huge. Awesome. Thank you so much, man, for sharing that. Yeah. So that's huge. So I know you've dropped like a ton of just value on us today, and a lot of bombs here, but like kind of looking overall, like I always like to ask this question at the end, as far as like, you know, putting you in a time machine. Like you have all the knowledge, everything, you know, all the wisdom that you've gained over the years, you have it all now in a time machine. You go back to when you first started, you know, you're just fresh out of college. What would you tell yourself then, or what would you do? What would you add or take away or do differently during that time in your life to help accelerate your journey?
Oh, so great question. I think about it from time to time. It is a great one, right? Because I always like, how do I, constant improvement is, you know, the Kaizen method I went through with the manufacturing company.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say I would bestow upon myself all the frameworks that I know now. And I would say, look, this one framework is going to change your life. Here's where it goes in your system. Not going to tell you how it changes your life, but literally like start using this framework today.
That's huge.
And then start using this system today. And I would literally just drop frameworks and systems, as many as I could think of in that conversation of like, here's how it works. Here's what I would just give myself, like a little descriptor of like where to use it and how to use it. Mm-hmm. And then I would just say, just keep reading and studying and learning this and go in that direction. That's what I'd do.
Nice.
I wouldn't change the direction I went at all. I wouldn't change any of the experiences I've ever had. Because I believe those shape you as a human being. Right.
Yeah.
The big difference there is like, it can become a limiting belief if you're not aware that it can become a limiting belief. So like having hyper awareness and understanding is like the life experiences you have, they could throw you into the deepest, darkest hole. I know, because I was there. Yeah. And what I found from that is literally like, I would never change any of that because I learned some really valuable lessons. Like if you're a young 20-some-year-old kid and you haven't put an agreement in place on ownership and sale of business, and then it happens, you're like, shh, dang it. I wish I had done that. Right.
Yep. Huge. Nice, man. That's huge. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for being on. This has been awesome. Really, really awesome. So appreciate you. Now, as far as like for anyone to be able to get in touch with you, to be able to be more involved in your space, what's going to be the best way to be able to do that?
Yeah. You know, we're looking for hungry business to business entrepreneurs that have their own business. Maybe they're doing all the sales, or maybe they have one or two people doing sales with them. That are looking for a way to literally put a robust bulletproof prospecting system in their business. And so if you're that person where you're like, man, I'm really hungry to grow and I want to move forward, just come join our inner circle. Our inner circle is a Facebook group. It's just facebook.com/groups/salesascendersinnercircle.
Perfect. All right. Nice. So I'll drop that in the description here. Title of our video as well, so that people can, you know, reach out to you and request to join your group. But yeah, you heard it. As far as just one last final tip, what would you say? Just kind of like one word that really stands out based upon our conversation today.
Keep going. You know, the world's going to go up. The world's going to go down. We don't know what the hell is going to happen with today's crazy election. By the way, if you haven't voted, go vote right now. Please do it. Please, please, please do it. There's lots of reasons why you should do that, but just go vote if you haven't done it yet. But we don't know what's coming our way. We don't know what's in the future. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but all we do know is that we can only control our attitude and our actions. Never forget that. And just remember, continue going, keep going, persistent, just go.
Persistence. Nice. Awesome. Keep going. So you heard it. Persistence is key. So everyone, thank you so much. Really appreciate you all. Love you all for tuning in and being a part of this awesome one entrepreneur interview with the one, the only Sean Malone. Thank you so much again, brother. This has been super awesome. You've dropped a lot of value. This is, you know, this is going to be in our group for the replay. It's going to be on the podcast here as well. So be sure to consume it as much as you possibly can, because there's a lot of golden nuggets, a lot of golden value in here to be able to take you to that next level as an entrepreneur. So thanks again, brother. Yeah. Really appreciate you. This has been awesome.
It was fun, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. You are awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in to the One Entrepreneur
podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss a beat. Every single week, providing value through live interviews with One Entrepreneurs. So, see you next time. Love you. My name's Austin Blanchfield. Tune in out.